Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And we just want to continue on in the train of thought I've been sharing about the greatest need of the hour, and that is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this world, in the lives of men, in the lives of God's people. We need to come alive, beloved. We need to come awake. We need to be stirred by the power of God and to experience His glory. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you, and Gentiles shall come to the brightness of your rising." Beloved, we are coming into a time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord, is going to come together in unity, is going to come together in power and in anointing, and we're going to be speaking the same thing. There's, you know, I always used to say, I know it was popular when years back in the 80s, we were very active, Brother Glass and I, in our minister's fellowship. One of the very common things that I would hear is, well, we can agree to disagree. And, you know, as I said, I'm kind of simple-minded, but if Jesus is the head, then he's, and we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, then he's not schizophrenic and he's not double-minded. So I think if we really see God, he is the Spirit of truth, and he will reveal truth to us. A time is coming, beloved, when the watchman shall see eye to eye. I believe that with all my heart. But as we look at the need of the hour in which we're living, we see that, of course, when it all started, God never intended for us to be in the pain and suffering and sorrow that we're in. He told Adam, he did not curse Adam and Eve for their sin and rebellion, but he said the ground was cursed for Adam's sake, and that he would eat of it in the with the sweat of his brow, and in sorrow he would eat of the labor of his hands all the days of his life. And to the woman, of course, she was spoken these words, that he would greatly multiply her sorrow and her conception. In sorrow she would bring forth children, and her desire should be to her husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, that certainly has been the case over the millennium, but thank God, through Jesus Christ, there is a restoration of the glory of the woman, who the woman was created to be. They were co-equals in God. Adam said, "She is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh," and there was a perfect harmony and relationship that they enjoyed, and which will again be restored, I believe, as we approach our heavenly kingdom, praise God. But when sin came into the world, sin marred God's beautiful handiwork. But thank God, may he be praised forever, that he put into operation a divine plan that would forever bring fellowship back between God and man. He would restore fellowship through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. And yet we see the marvelous love of our Creator in all of His creation. There is nothing save the selfish heart of man that lives to itself. No bird that flies in the air, no animal that moves upon the ground, they minister to some other life. There's such a beautiful harmony and relationship that God has established through His natural laws. There's no leaf of the forest, no lowly blade of grass. Everything has its purpose and its function. Every tree, every shrub, every leaf has that element of life within it, without which neither man nor animal could live. God ordained that. And man and animal in turn would, that was our original job, you know. It was to tend the trees of the garden. We were to minister to the life of the trees and the shrubs and the leaves in the Garden of Eden. And for any of you who have ever done any gardening, I did that for a brief period of my life. I found great satisfaction in it. And I thought, no wonder God put Adam and Eve in a garden for a period of time. Not right now. I don't even have a plant. But nonetheless, you do have to have time for that. Praise God. And so, beloved, as we look at the beauty in the world around us, we look at the glorious sun that sheds its light, that opens up the vistas, it dawns upon every day, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is to be praised. Hallelujah. And we look at the ocean itself, the source of all of our springs and fountains. It receives the streams from every land, but it takes to give. And as we look at the beautiful cycle of the seasons, the fall showers and the spring showers that water the earth, that bring forth the amazing creativity of the earth, the blossoms that erupt and the flowers that come to bloom. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, the creation of our God. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus, He is the fairest of 10,000. He's the diadem of the ages. He's our fortress, beloved, in the time of storm. He is the light of life, the Alpha and the Omega. And He so loved us that He came into this earth. He came and suffered and died for you and me. And He rose again to bridge the gap between the crowning glory of His creation, man, you and I, that we might walk in that love and that new life. Just the other day, I was rereading John 17, that beautiful prayer that Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one as we are one. That's the kind of fellowship, that's the kind of harmony that we will experience when we are forever with the Lord. But nonetheless, we see that the times in which we're living, the days are evil, beloved, but we can take our comfort in God's eternal plan of redemption. For our plan of redemption was simply not an afterthought, but it was a carefully formulated plan before time was. In eternity, God had planned a way, knowing that Adam and Eve would sin. And it was a revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence through times eternal. It was an unfolding, if you will, of the principles that from eternal ages have been the foundation of God's throne. From the beginning, our God was well acquainted with the apostasy of Satan. He was familiar with his treachery. He was familiar with his rebellion that took a third of the angels. And He knew that He would corrupt man, that man would fall through His deceptive powers, through His lies. Jesus said He was a liar from the beginning. And God, of course, did not ordain that sin should exist, but in His infinite wisdom and foreknowledge, He was aware and knew of its existence, and He made provision to meet that terrible emergency. I've often thought, can you imagine? I think all heaven must have stood still when Satan, in the form of a serpent, spoke to Eve. She gave of her husband the forbidden fruit, that here was the epitome of God's creation, and they were listening to the words, the lies, the deception of the fallen one, the most glorious of the angels. The angels must have held their breath, the two-thirds of those who remain loyal and faithful and obedient to God. And what tragedy, what an inexpressible moment that was, because at that point, death entered into the experience of mankind. But so great was His love for the world that He covenanted to give His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hear the words of Genesis, the third chapter. This was right after God was calling for them, and they hid themselves. And in verse 15, That's Genesis 3:15. The Lord God says and declares, I will put enmity between thee, he's speaking to the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Of course, a head wound is going to be fatal. And the reference is there, of course, the women don't have seed. The seed of the woman is Jesus and those, his family, who will believe in him. And his heel certainly was bruised, but not to death. He overcame death and he arose victorious. But eventually, that serpent, that fallen angel and all of his demons and all of the wicked ones who ally themselves with him, his head shall be utterly crushed. But this one passage of scripture talks about the warfare that will continue throughout time until this promise is fulfilled, until Jesus came in we still divide between AD and BC, before Christ, after Christ, until Jesus came, fulfilled his mission, and then he said, I'm coming back. And that's what we're waiting for. We're in the final moments of time, beloved, when Jesus will return. There's only one thing that will change the hearts and minds of men, and that is a old-fashioned and real born-again experience with the living God. That's why, beloved, the Lord is going to cause the greatest outpouring of his divine spirit ever seen in the history of the world, because a time is coming when time will be no more. In these last days, he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. And beloved, we who claim the Lord, we who name the name of Jesus, we are the inheritors of all that Jesus has been done. We are laborers with God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, beloved, I've taken this time to give you a picture of who you are in him, and that this outpouring is promised. It shall happen. It shall not fail. It shall come in the Lord's time. It is happening even now. And let us look, let us lift up our heads, beloved, for our salvation draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Well, I could go on for another hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I do invite you, as I do every time, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. This is a personal ministry, and I know you'll be blessed with whatever God gives for me to share with you. I will pray personally for you and answer your letter. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.